watching you dancing. It was really, really cute. Data Transfer Season 2, Episode 5, and I'm Audrey.
I'm Koida.
I have been doing everything in my power to destroy myself lately.
Like, sexually, or just...
No, like... I've been lately, the last three nights, I've gotten off work, stopped at the gas station, gotten a bunch of Monster Energy drinks, and stayed up till 4 a.m. to go into work the next day, to get off work, to get Monster Energy drinks, and stay up till 4 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I have for dinner tonight?
Food?
An iced honey bun and jalapeno kettle chips.
Oh, darling.
Oh, yeah.
You gotta treat yourself better.
Maybe.
Maybe. No, not maybe. You literally can't, like, keep up with your obligations if you don't maintain your body. And that's part of what this episode is about. Like, you just completely... It was the Gundam robots are cool.
Digimon are badass.
Wow, cool Digimon. I like Joe. Yay, Gomamon. Hello.
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 Corla, how are you?
I'm Poopy.
Poopy Stinko?
Yeah. Everyone gets to do cool shit, but me and you, we're just sitting here being bitter, angry buttheads.
Mm-hmm. I have to work all the time, and when I'm not working all the time, I am doing my other job all the time, which is digital media content creation.
Meeting up and going to parties and concerts and shit, and I'm playing Factorio.
Yeah, I'm playing First Descendant.
Yeah, and she keeps trying to get me to play First Descendant.
You should play First Descendant.
I don't like to play First Descendant.
What if you liked it?
What if you liked Minecraft?
Oh, see, that's...
What if you liked Factorio?
See, that's no good. That's no good for me.
Yeah, exactly.
You don't like shooting Vulgus?
No, I've 1,002.7 hours in Warframe.
Okay, but this is
I've
First Descendant.
I've done this. First Descendant is such a fucking blatant ripoff in every single goddamn way. The only way in which it's unique is by having someone named Greg and Kevin and Steve.
There's no Kevin. There's a Kyle.
I don't care. They all have dumb fucking white boy names interspersed with the fucking bullshit sci-fi names. It's all so generic that I cannot bring myself to, like, sit through a cutscene.
I didn't do any of the cutscenes. I did, like, one.
Yeah, you don't... There's... Everything about the trappings of this has been done before and better. The movement tech is there. There's stuff you can do to go faster, but there is never a point at which you're going, whee! Right?
Warframe, here's how I feel about Warframe.
You power up Volt, you fucking boost them up with the right things, and you can just go from one end of Earth to the other in 12 seconds.
Yeah, Volt's got that.
You can infinite mass punch somebody.
Who's the little pixie chick who has, like, the flying...
Octavia!
Form? Octavia.
One of my faves, because you can turn into a little faily.
Is great, and she's very fast, and she flies very far. I like Necros quite a bit.
You would like Necros. I also love Necros.
Because he's got the item drop rate.
Yeah, you have the item doubler, so you just, like, back when you could have infinite invisibility by melee killing people, which was easier from invisibility.
Yeah.
You could just bring Inaros, go invisible, just kind of go nyit to every corpse and let someone else explode everything. It was great. I miss that.
Pretty cool.
And maybe there's a point at which First Descendant feels like that, but the process of getting there is such a fucking slog that pushes me off and, like, angers me at every step that I just don't want to do it.
So what I'm hearing is we should play Warframe instead.
Yeah!
Okay, I'll reinstall it on my PS4.
Fuck yes.
I have quite the account gifted to me by friend of Radio Free Topag, Daddy Dylan.
Oh, perfect. Yes, because catching you up would be like me doing the First Descendant thing.
Yeah. He went super whale mode and was just spending currency on account stuff. And
you,
like,
don't have to do that.
No, you don't. And he bought all kinds of shit for himself, and he also bought all kinds of shit for me because we were playing together, and he just like wanted.
At most, you like buy platinum to trade with other people for the shit that you want. Like, at no point do you ever want to buy anything from the Warframe like store directly.
Tons of shit from the Warframe store.
Incredibly overpriced, like massively blatantly, and it takes so little effort to get it for like a tenth of the cost.
Yep.
Trading with people. So sorry, Dylan.
But I got the weird like the gun, like the fungus attachment gun with the backpack.
That, you know what I'm talking about? That describes more than one weapon.
I guess that's true.
I assume you mean the like infected flamethrower.
No, not the infected flamethrower. The infected grenade launcher and machine gun.
Oh yes, the one with the underslung infected thingy. Yeah, I know that one. I forget the name. They all have dumb names.
I've got the one bow that you fire it into a group of enemies, and they all get drawn into the center, and then explode.
Fuck yeah! I've got some prime stuff that was available up till I stopped playing.
Damn.
I got
a bunch of primes.
A Neja Prime, who I have skinned and colored to look like Hatsune Miku well before meme was a thing.
So that's Warframe Miku.
Warframe Miku. Wiku.
Wiku. So that's Wiku. Us talking about sci-fi shooters with marginally okay storylines.
Yeah. Factorio's way better than all these anyway. Like a lot better, actually.
Then I have to like care about what's happening. Like I have to invest myself in like the building of a thing and the creation of a zone.
Once you like make the thing, it makes all your stuff for you. And once you've got blueprints of stuff that you've made yourself, you can just pick the thing that you've already made that you need to slap it down, send your little robots over, and they do it for you. And you can just sit back and relax and watch TV on your dispenser, TF2 engineer. I don't know.
Yeah, I mostly want to run around and shoot shit from a first or third person perspective.
Factorio's third person,
but it's like isometric.
No, it's not. It's top down. It's straight on, top down.
I guess
no,
it's different than isometric. Yeah, I kind of want to play an isometric ass beater as well.
I hate those,
because the thing I've really enjoyed about First Ascendant is that it borrows so much from Warframe, but it also borrows a bunch from Diablo specifically because of the way like mobs will have modifiers on them. Like elite mobs will get from a pool of different shit that they can have. They will like get upgrades.
You should try RL Craft.
What's RL Craft?
It's Minecraft, but it's been turned into like, it's a Minecraft mod pack that explicitly aims to make it into like a hack and slash loot adventure.
Okay.
I would describe it as the only time Minecraft has ever had decent combat ever in any mod pack.
Including the ones that you love.
Yeah. Because I don't care about the combat. I think it's kind of a fucking, like a thing in the way of the stuff I want to do, which is build cool, cute-looking things, build fun machines, automate, like, interesting processes, like, explore cool-looking places. The monsters are in my way.
It's so funny how similar we are in so many ways, and then in terms of, like, ludic goals, we're just, like, completely opposite to one another.
Yeah, I'm a fucking like engineer at heart.
Yeah, I'm a warrior. I'm a warrior poet. Hey, you want to talk about Digimons?
Sure.
Okay. This episode is entitled. Do I not have the Japanese title here? What the fuck? Okay, I'm going to see if I can find a different wiki for this one, because this fucking wiki article sucks. Vamp for me. You can just edit
vamp,
this out.
Vamp, 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 vamp. Do you like balls, listener?
I do.
Listener, I want you to imagine in your head an orange.
Okay.
I want you to, like, really examine the image of an orange in your head. Like, see the bumps in the skin, the way the rind kind of wrinkles a bit around the nub where it was plucked from the tree. Now I want you to bite that orange without peeling it in your mind.
Damn.
You told me to vamp. This is what I got.
You recommended they bite the rind?
Yeah, the rind. No, I didn't recommend. I forced them to in their mind.
In their mind palace.
In my mind's eye or whatever.
Okay, I think this is the better wiki. In fact, I know this is the better wiki. Somehow
the better wiki. On
the other one.
The biki.
The biki. Episoda? List of... That's character. List of... Digimon Adventure 02 episodes. We go to 5. Okay, we're already in good shape here. This is much better. Okay. Sorry about that, everyone. This episode is entitled Destroy the Dark Tower, or the English title, Old Reliable.
Old Reliable Joe.
Joe. And the synopsis begins like this. This section of the article is a stub. You can help by expanding it.
Good bit.
I love that. After being abused by the Digimon Emperor as the Gizamon went under the Digimon Emperor's spell, Gomamon sends an alert to Joe.
Holy shit. That is such a short way to put that. That's so much happens there.
So much happens there. Digimon Emperor is like whipping the fuck out of some Gizamon. He's just like, go, bitches. And they're like carrying like girders and hopping along.
And he's whipping Wormmon the second he pipes up.
Yeah. You know, I tell you, if I was going to enslave a race of creatures to build things for me, I wouldn't choose frog creatures because it seems like they're not very good at, like, carrying things while they are motile.
Now, if I had to guess, I would assume he's sourcing them locally for each region that he's setting up the tower. He's just, like, coming up. Grabbing whatever is like weak enough for him to domineer by whipping them a lot.
Yeah.
And then telling them, all right, go build me a thing. And then as soon as it's done, he puts the rings on everybody nearby and it doesn't matter.
I would just like to point out that my Apple Watch just heard everything I said for like, it actually heard the thing where I said, if I was going to enslave a race of creatures. And then it just goes, I don't know how to respond to that.
Me neither. I'm glad we're on the same page.
But Gomamon, like, fucking, like, you know that, like, protagonist thing where you, like, slide into frame and stop an attack?
Yeah.
He, like, takes the whip and, like, wraps around his little paw.
Both of us pogged like crazy.
We pogged like hell. And he's like, hey, quit whipping those Gizamon, shithead.
They can't even move good on land, you fucking idiot.
Yeah, you dumb piece of shit. And the Digimon Kaiser is just like,
don't lecture me on Digimon.
Whoever beats the fuck out of this Gomamon gets to rest.
Yeah, and then all brutal. The Gizamon immediately turn on him.
Yeah, like, and this is before they were, like, controlled by a dark ring.
Yeah.
They were, like, so desperate to rest, to get a moment of respite, that they turned on a totally innocent Digimon who was in fact attempting to help them.
Yeah.
They beat the hell out of him. They do their little spin attack. They jump in the air. We get a few frames of Gomamon getting beat to hell in that way. And then once he's sort of defeated and like laying on the ground, mostly lifeless, Wormmon says, you'll let the ones who attacked him rest, right? And of course, he just goes, no.
He goes, lol, LMAO.
LMAO, you thought? You thought?
I was capping, or however that goes. Whatever I was
fully,
that means.
It was fully cap.
It was fully cap. I had my winged cap on.
Um... So that sucks. It's like no good. I hate that he did that. And the Digimon Kaiser continues to prove himself to be a total bastard.
Just a real little shit fuck.
So Gumamon crawls away from this situation and sends an alert to Joe.
In the snow.
Joe in the snow. He and the other Digidestined go to the digital world, only to find Gumamon buried in the snow. There's a little bit of a subplot that happens before this where, like, Iori is like, goes to a kendo practice.
With and Daisuke's,
Daisuke's like, hey, man, like, we're going to go to the digital world and, like, save this Gumamon dude and, like, you know, do important Digidestined shit.
A literal SOS signal, my bud.
And he's like, I got shit to do with me. I got to go to kendo.
I got obligations.
I got obligation. What's the in training form for Armadamon?
Let me look.
Squing.
Upamon.
Upamon.
I don't know if that's what it is in Japanese, but that's a great name.
It's a great name. Upamon is like sitting in a chair and he's just like, damn, I guess Iori ain't coming. I guess I'm going to have to go by myself. Ain't that a bitch? So then before they leave for the digital world, we get the cutaway to the kendo lesson where he like decides that he's actually going to go to the digital world and like help his friends do Digidestined shit. And his grandpa is basically like, huh, you're becoming your father.
I just found out something great.
What's that?
He's called Upamon because he's based on axolotls. And the Japanese name for axolotl is Uparupa, which Uparupa. Is literally like a fucking romanization of Whooper Looper. I'm so happy about this. All right, let's go back.
That's incredible.
We have one more thing, which is the kendo practice. Chibimon's like, what the fuck is kendo? And Upamon's like, what's kendo? And he just gets hit in the face with a rolled up newspaper. His dad goes, men do kote. I thought that was a great. Also, Iori's grandpa yelling, "Man!" like a TF2 YouTube poop is very good,
pretty good. And his grandfather is essentially like supportive of him bailing on kendo to go do things he needs to do.
He's like, "Yo, you're really distracted. This isn't gonna do you any good."
Yeah, what the hell's wrong? And he's like, "Well, my friends are," and he's like, "Go beep, yeah, go do that." Which I did not expect. I thought the grandfather would be like, no, you must continue your lessons.
You must continue your lessons.
He does come back and Upamon's like, oh, so nice of you to make it.
Yeah, we were constantly getting the fucking prompt. You got to gather your party before venturing forth.
You must gather your party before venturing forth. And Upamon's like stoked to see Iori, but also kind of like feeling a little hurt that maybe he was going to bail.
Yeah, he's like, what the fuck, my guy?
Yeah. They go to the digital world and right before they go to the digital world, Iori tries to introduce himself to Joe and is interrupted. Who interrupted him the first time?
The Yole.
Yeah, Yole was like, hey,
we gotta fucking go, let's do it. And then as soon as they get there, he's like, hey, sorry, interrupted last time. My name is, and Daisuke's like, shut the fuck up.
Shut up, bitch. We have
things to do.
We have shit going on. But I thought it was kind of like, it was trying to be a sweet moment because Iori is the inheritor of the Crest of Reliability. So
yeah, he's trying to make a connection with his predecessor. Yeah, that's the term.
Was predecessor. But he doesn't get that chance, and Armadillomon is like not really having it.
Mm-hmm.
Basically just like, whatever, you fucking gonna bail on me and shit. Like he's like making like comments under his breath the whole episode.
Yeah. He's just being real catty.
Real catty. Catty for an armadillo. So they find Gumamon buried in the snow. They excavate him out of the snow.
Yeah, he's beat the fuck up. He's passed out with layers of snow on him. I was very sad and upset. I'm gonna be real here. I'm like, no, the boy,
the absolute Yoon got defeated, and we don't love that
absolute eunuch.
So they decide that they have to destroy the control spire in the area, but it's so far away. How are we gonna get there? Yole asks Joe, "Hey, did you bring any skis or skates, Mr. Reliable? Mr. Bringing the Hot Hands packets?"
Hey, you can get those at a convenience store. You have to go to like a sports store for the rest of that shit.
Yeah, and it's expensive.
Yeah.
So no skates, no skis. But they decide they're going to build a sled. And you were fucking delighted.
I love the sled time because they go Balto mode.
They build a sled and they hook up their Digimon to the sled and go Balto mode.
Sled pilled and dog maxing.
And so they, go out to cross the snowfield to get to the control spire.
Yeah, they're carrying medicine for...
Exactly.
Alaskans and...
apparently that Iditarod shit is based on the... there was some shipment of medicine that needed to get from the start of the Iditarod to the end of the Iditarod run. And... So they like do that to commemorate that journey.
That's based, like, the movie Balto is based on that original journey.
So cool. Just like, that's such a cool
furry
thing.
Furry thrown in there, I guess.
With a little bit of furriness. I haven't
seen it in forever.
A little bit of furriness. That dog is hot in Balto. That's a hot dog.
With the lady dog or Balto himself?
Balto's a good looking dog.
Oh, okay. That.
Again, they anthropomorphize the faces a little bit.
That's, you know what?
Look up Balto.
Yeah, listeners, look up with us.
Balto. Get some images here.
Oh, Balto was literally the fucking one of the dogs.
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
That's a handsome. That's a handsome looking dog.
He's got a statue. Look at those neck ruffles. Oh my god. What a good boy. He saved lives.
Yeah.
Aww. I'm emotional about this.
That's the estrogen. Things will happen and I'll start
tearing
up.
There's a third Balto movie. I just want you to know that.
They did it the first time.
Direct to VHS sequels.
They did it the first time. The story of the Iditarod.
No, this is the like Disney sequel approach.
Yeah, where it's like...
Just churn out some bullshit.
Land Before Time was Amblin, right?
God. Amblin? Oh, like Hitchcock. Or Spielberg, excuse me.
Yeah.
Sorry, I only know the phrase Amblin from the epic rap battles. Alfred Hitchcock versus Steven Spielberg.
So Land Before Time was Amblin. Oh, hell yeah. It was directed by Don Bluth. Don Bluth fucking kicks ass. But I was thinking
Bluth does
of...
kick ass.
Sequels. I was thinking about if Disney ever took those over and made a bunch of sequels, but they were so shitty there's no way on earth that Disney had anything to do with them.
Right.
I remember my folks showed me Land Before. I don't know why I'm on Land Before Time, but I am. The first time I saw it, I just, you know, you weep like a fucking baby.
Of course.
Just like, oh my fucking God, this is so sad. And then they find the Great Valley and they tell a complete story. And it's all it has to be. And then in the second one, they meet a baby Sharptooth.
Yeah.
Named Chomper.
Chomper.
And Chomper's pretty base. I do like Chomper, but there's like, they make it a musical, and like, I did, was Land Before Time a musical, the first one?
No,
I don't really recall any musical breaks.
The sequels were all musicals.
The sequels were all musicals, which I feel is a grave mistake because it was the worst fucking music ever produced by humankind.
The
Lone
Dinosaur. From Land Before Time 6, The Secret of Saurus Rock.
Wait, did you see 6?
Yeah.
You saw all these?
I grew up on so many of these things when I was like 3 to 5 years old. Holy
shit. I saw
shit.
1 and 2, and I remember when 2 came out because I was fucking stoked. They're like, my parents came to me one day and they're like, Do you remember Land Before Time? And I'm like, do I fucking remember Land Before Time?
It made my little baby brain cry.
Of course I remember Land Before Time. I am Littlefoot, motherfucker.
I'm Littlefoot. I'm Chomper.
You're Chomper, I'm Littlefoot. That's fair. And they were like, did you know there's a new one coming out? And I went, there's a what? There's more? And then I watched it, and I remember being like, this is not... I remember even being like a very tiny child and being like, this is not as good.
Yeah, I mean, this was for me contemporary with like Barney and Dora the Explorer. So I was
a little older.
Yeah. Yeah, you're 5 years older than me, remember?
Yeah. So I would have been like 11, I guess, and was still stoked on Land Before Time.
Yeah. Although this was also contemporary for me with like Princess Mononoke. So who fucking knows?
Oh, and Aliens.
Diet.
Yeah.
Fucking Final Destination 1.
No way.
Yeah.
Silence of the Lambs.
I saw that at my uncle's house.
I saw Silence of the Lambs really young, too.
Oh,
in Pulp Fiction.
My cousin tried to show me Silence of the Lambs.
It's a little cerebral for children.
A little bit. So it kind of goes over your head.
Like
especially when with the
Mig says, I can
like,
smell your cunt.
Sneeze on her?
Right. Yeah, when Mig says, I can smell your cunt, it doesn't hit quite as well when you're like 10.
Hey, we're like so deep in the with the fucking weeds. Where were we even in the episode?
I will tell. Okay, so they're riding the sled across the snowfield, and then an army of Frigimon show up because the Emperor Digimon Kaiser sends a bunch of Frigimon after him when he realizes what they're trying to do. I think there's the interlude in here, or no, it was way earlier. It was at the beginning of the episode. Wormmon tried to bring Digimon Kaiser a coat and he kicked him in the face.
Yeah, brought him a coat because he's in the fucking like frigid winter.
Hey, you're probably really cold. I want to help you out. Bow! Just gets kicked in the fucking dome.
Yeah. It's fucked up.
This Ken guy sucks.
He sucks so much shit.
They should seriously. I'm serious. The plan right now is we're gonna destroy 150 fucking individual little towers and liberate the digital world one square at a time. Jump him after school.
Yeah, you. I mean, they don't know who he is yet.
Figure it out and then jump him after school and stomp him out.
Dox this man and jump him.
Yeah, exactly.
Sucks.
It sucks.
That he is the libs of TikTok of Digimon.
Yeah, dude. Okay. But so the Frigimon all line up and there's like a cool scene where they're like speeding towards the army of Frigimon and they're throwing Sub-Zero ice punches and they're like landing in the snow near them and there's like puffs of snow.
Yeah,
Daisuke gets a big mouthful of snow.
It's like running through a fucking artillery field.
Yeah. They went over the top.
Yeah, they're doing a fucking D-Day run. Yeah. But also, I asked a very important question when we saw multiple Frigimon.
Because
as you might recall, in the English dub, he was given like a Dom DeLuise-alike.
Sub-Zero Ice Punch!
Kind of voice.
I'm Dom DeLuise! I'm Frozen Dom DeLuise!
And so my question was, what is the plural of a Dom DeLuise?
My answer was, of course, Dom's DeLuise.
I preferred, or at least I posited Dom DeLuise.
Dom DeLuise. So it's like Dom DeLuise, which is like Dom DeLouse. So like Dom DeLice.
Dom DeLay.
Dom DeLay. That's a great
Dom
name.
Dom DeLay. Yeah.
Dom DeLay is when your top
Dom
is.
Dom DeLay Lama.
Nice. Dom DeLay is when your top is late to your date.
Oh, that's happened to me before.
It sucked. They easily pass the Frigimon, like the Frigimon battle line. The
Frigimon
combat.
Didn't realize they were playing Red Rover, so they weren't linking arms.
They're like I the two that they go immediately past are just like, hey. It's like the guards from Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey.
Runs up, stabs the one, and then runs past. Hey.
The other one goes, hey. And they almost, it was almost the run-up, too, where Lancelot is, like, running up the fucking field.
Yes.
And then it's the same footage with the drums over and over again. Fucking awesome.
Such a good movie.
Such a good movie. It got way overplayed, especially for me, because I spent a lot of time at the Renaissance Festival.
Oh, yeah.
So every motherfucker I knew had the whole movie on lock and would just quote the whole thing every day. And it's like, come the fuck on.
I was the person who did that and where I grew
can
up.
Can we, after this, can we find a bootleg of that and watch it together?
Yeah.
Let's do that.
I'm going to play Factorio, but.
Okay. You can do that while quoting the entirety of Monty Python and the Holy Grail, I'm sure. So let's do that. But they blast through the Frigimon, and then they have to jump over a chasm in their sled. They almost eat shit.
They almost fucking,
the sled gets caught on the edge, but they kind of scramble, and in the scrambling have to, like, accelerate a little too much, and so almost dump their shit off the other side of, like, into another chasm.
A chasm with, like, a fucking, like, rapids underneath.
Yeah, with a frozen river underneath, or, like, with cold river. It wasn't frozen.
Cold
but, like,
rapids.
Cold rapids underneath. Yeah, and who should fall off the sled but Iori? It's an Iori episode.
The little baby boy.
And
falls to his icy death.
Ah, you would think.
You would think.
But instead, the goat, the greatest of all time.
The boy.
Gumamon jumps off the sled. After he's still beat up. He's still hurt.
He's been fucked up this whole episode. Yeah.
But he just fucking hops out the whip and goes after him. And it's a really cool
swimmer.
Because he's the swimmer. But he goes and he gets him and
new group doesn't have a swimmer.
Yeah, new group doesn't have a swimmer, so they lose an avenue of attack. There is eventually an armored Digivolution that can swim, but
yep.
That's there for a little bit.
That's not for a bit, and more to the point, it's not a rookie.
Yeah.
It's not a default option available to them.
None of these, they all seem a little helpless in rookie mode as opposed to Gumamon, who was just like, oh yeah, I have Aquaman powers.
Yeah, I mean, they have Gatomon,
who's
like default champion, so they've got like a base level of strength available, but as far as utility, this team sucks a little bit compared to
sucks
Gen 1.
Hawkmon and Patamon are the only flyers, as opposed to Tentomon, Biomon, Patamon. They had three.
Yeah.
They
got no
swimmer.
You don't have the
Vine Whip with Palmon. You don't have the reach.
Yeah, they don't have any reach in the team.
She's a 1-2 reach for one. For one green. We should go. Let's do that once an episode. Let's decide what a Digimon stats are.
Yeah. If we can't find porn, we're just going to do a magic segment instead.
Like, I'd love that.
You know what? I couldn't find nothing for the one new Digimon today, so here we go.
We'll do some Digimon magic here in a
second. Yay!
As soon as we get through the synopsis, which I'm dragging my feet on. So Gumamon rescues Iori from the frozen water, and then they take him into a little cave, and they're warming him up by the fire, and they're discussing who's going to go do what. Like, okay, Iori, you fell in the cold water. You're going to get sick. Joe gives him some cold medicine, which I think was very cool. Here's a little Dayquil, you know, a little preemptive Dayquil. And they decide that the others are going to go destroy the Dark Tower while Iori and Joe hang out in the cave, which was a nice opportunity for them to bond.
Yeah.
So the other kids run off. They took the sled. As I recall.
Well, yeah, they continue on the sled.
Yeah, so they take the sled. They're down a runner. Armadimon is not available at this point, but they make it okay. They run into the attack line of Frigimon again, but this time they're like, okay, we're going to have to beat some ass. We get a Flamedrumon Digivolution who's taking him out three at a time, just like Frigimon dropping like flies.
Yeah.
But in the meantime,
you've heard of. No, go on.
But in the meantime, the in-between time, the Digimon Kaiser shows up with a Shellmon at the cave and is like, let's fucking go. It's time. I'm going to beat your asses. I've got you where I want you. It's just you two. I'm going to beat your ass. And Joe's like, okay, Gomamon, you got to fucking hold him off as long as you can. And I was like, Armadillomon's right there. He could just digivolve and fight Shellmon, and that would be fine.
Yeah.
Why does Gomamon have to go and do super fucking cool moves, like great dodging?
Yeah, dippy dodging.
Showing some speed that he didn't show before. They must have been training the speed stat, doing running.
Yeah, doing running, shitting on the course.
Shitting on the course, sleeping in the shit, turning into a Numamon. Oh, we didn't talk about this. Subscribe to our Patreon. At we'll do a full plug at the end, but this is in reference to the content we're covering on our Patreon. Patreon.com/datatransfer. All one word.
We'll do a more full explanation on it. But yeah, we're doing DW1 for now.
DW1 for right now. Two episodes out.
It's great. We got that Gabumon. We treat him like shit.
We beat the hell out of him. We're Digimon Kaisering this motherfucker. Armadillomon does eventually digivolve into Digmon to defeat Shellmon, and then immediately like a fucking jump scare, Abedramon jumps out of the fucking ocean and grabs him and like sucks him into the sea.
As soon as he beats him, Abedramon just like, hello.
Whomp. Hello. Yump. Got you.
So describe Abedramon, because this is the first and only time we ever see this fucker.
Water scorpion.
Yeah, he's like a lobster dragon.
Yeah, lobster dragon might have been more accurate. But he reminded me of like one of those like paleolithic sea creatures that's like all fucking legs and claws and shit.
Yeah, some Anomalocaris bullshit.
Yes, exactly. That's who I was thinking of. So he just like jumps out and drags Digimon into the ocean. And it's like, well, guess he's dead. Joe's like, okay, I can help him as soon as the tower falls, because we need a swimmer, and we got Gomamon, and if I can digivolve him into a Kakumon, easy peasy, got him, no problem. The fight goes well, fighting all the Frigimon, Flamedrumon, I believe it was just Flamedrumon, I think so, just like handily beats like 15 Frigimon, which I thought was a little weak shit. I think we could have benefited from another armor digivolution over there.
I mean, it's a pretty good elemental victory there.
Yeah. Pretty strong elemental.
It's like Frosty advantage. The Snowman versus the Human Torch.
Versus a flamethrower. And so the Frigimon are defeated. The tower falls. We get the season one Digivolution segment for Ikakumon, who jumps into the water, pries Abedramon off of Digimon. They go to the surface. As soon as they get to the surface, Digimon flies out of the water, turns around, and just blasts the shit out of Abedramon. And then Kakumon follows it up with a harpoon torpedo.
Because they're both artillery boys.
Yeah, they're both like, pow, pow, missile.
Oh, fucking great stuff. And Abedramon is like dead.
Yeah, Abedramon's like, when the drills hit, they like lingered for a second, like drilled in. You could see like chunks of carapace kind of flying away.
Like a fucking Hesh round.
Yeah. I remember the Hash. That's a good gun.
it's also a fucking round type.
Oh,
for like artillery and cannon and tank fire.
Neat.
It's like high explosive shaped head, something like that.
Sure. There is, of course, also the gun in Warframe that does the same thing called the Hash.
Oh. Yeah, again, Warframe's got stupid names for things.
Yeah, like Gricata and Twin Gricata.
Gricata.
I like Gricata.
Gricata. I got my Wraith Twin Vipers that I have modded with like minimum or like maximum ammo clip size and maximum fire rate, but nothing else on it. So it's just It's just like a massive bullet fart. And then you reload.
And like really fast reload on him. It's like,
yeah. Yeah, you're literally just like, you're killing things by firing so many bullets at them that it's not bullets tearing through. It is the impact of that much mass at once. You're like shooting a train at someone.
That's amazing. Following that little fight where they destroy Beedramon, they return home. That's the episode.
Yeah! Friends!
Yeah, Corlo, would you please rate this episode on a scale of Rookie to Mega?
I really liked this one, actually. I'm gonna give this one an ultimate. It's certainly not perfect, but I quite enjoyed that. Throughout this thing, they're repeatedly like, so the substory with Iori and Joe is that they're touching on like what reliability means. What?
Iori and Joe? Is that like a Morton Joe?
No, it's not.
It's pretty reliable.
Shut up. Forget what I was talking about.
Oh, the different ways to be reliability that can be.
Yeah, what reliability means and to whom that actually matters. And it's like Joe is clearly like cares a lot about his academics and tries extremely hard to be straight laced in that way, but is also willing to drop shit when his friends are in trouble, because ultimately that is the higher priority, and being reliable to them means being willing to drop like a practice exam or whatever the fuck.
To be self-sacrificing in the face of the needs of others.
And we see Iori struggle with exactly this, as Grandpa has to be like, hey, you should probably be doing something else right now if you're this distracted.
Yeah.
And he gets to see Joe as like someone who's already fully realized in this way.
Mm-hmm.
Someone who's been through this shit. Who like has the answer already, and who looks at him and goes, basically is like, hey, you're gonna figure it out too. Yeah. You'll have to go through a similar journey, because no one could just tell me how to be this way.
Yeah,
but like, you got this. So yeah, having like a really applicable moral that's told in a very fun way. Also, this episode is just fucking dark as shit. We have more whipping, obviously. That keeps happening in this show. No poop. We get points for that. But Gomamon is like half dead, frozen in the snow after being whipped to shit, crawling away to safety. Oh my god, the poor boy.
The poor boy. And then still, like, lands the final killing blow of the episode.
He's the coolest and the bestest. So, yeah ultimate. What about you?
I'm going to give it a champion. I was considering giving it an armor because I didn't super care for this episode. But then you mentioned that there was no poop in it, and so that upgraded it to a champion.
I love you.
I love you, too. I just, like... I didn't super vibe with this episode. The message of it, that reliability means being reliable for your friends more than being reliable to the obligations in your life.
Yeah. It's about what you choose to be reliable to.
Yeah. And it's like...
Because being reliable to your job, to your office,
right,
is a choice you can make. And it's something you can dedicate yourself to, but it doesn't improve anyone's life.
Right. That's something that I was taught a long time ago, that you can value the things that you value, and you just do.
Yep.
And nobody can really take that from you. If you value, I value my sitting around time, right? So I try to, you know, I craft my life in such a way that I get a little bit of sitting around time, you know?
I value my tits, which is why I set my life up in a way that I develop more boob flesh.
Sure, sure. And Joe values his friends, but the fights were a little, you know, it's just Flamedramon hitting Frigimon with a
I suppose. We do have some nice juxtaposition between two fights going on at once.
Yeah, I guess.
Also, we get the Shellmon pets, which I thought was very fun.
Yeah, I'm going to cut that clip for you. The second time he does it is even worse. It's like even more pets because he like pulls away over and over again.
It's so cute. It just looks like he's petting Digimon.
Yeah.
He's just like, oh, pointy friend.
All right. Since we don't have any pornography, I'm going to hit this drop.
Pussy two.
And then we're going to do stats for some Digimon and Pokemon.
Yeah.
Or in Magic the Gathering, apparently.
Yeah, we're going to do... Okay, let's start with Gomamon. Because he's our boy this episode.
Gomamon is a 2-2 island walk for 4 with tap create a 1-1 fish creature token.
That makes a lot of sense, actually, yeah. I was almost gonna give him like ninjutsu or some shit.
They all kind of have ninjutsu for their Digivolution form.
Yeah.
There would be a keyword mechanic for Digidestined Digimon that's like Digivolve.
Right. All right. Now give me one.
Okay. Do a Beedramon.
Okay. So he's like a lobster dragon. All right. Given the fact that he's a lobster dragon and an ambush predator, I'm going to say he's like 3-2 blue for a 4-4. That when it enters the battlefield, destroy target non-land permanent and opponent controls.
In blue, no less.
Maybe
make him Simic.
And he comes in with what the fuck is the counter? Comes in tapped and doesn't untap on the next untaps turn.
So he has to like exert and blow something up.
Yeah, he's exert, but he does destroy when he comes in.
I'm going to say he gets flash also.
Yep.
Because of how he came in. So he's like I would say like a green and a blue and 3 for a, wow, let's make him a mythic. And say 4-4 first strike flash, ETBs tap, destroy target, non-creature, non-land permanent.
Mm-hmm.
So you can like hit enchantments and artifacts and shit with him. But he ETBs tapped. But he's a 4-4 first strike flash.
Okay, I like it. I'm going to give you a fun one. Skull Greymon.
Skull Greymon. Okay.
He's huge. Skull... He's a berserker. Definitely in black.
Yes, he's
probably Rakdos colors.
He's Rakdos for sure. He's definitely Rakdos. So I'm thinking because he's an ultimate,
and he's got a missile, so that tend to be like probably got reach.
Fight winners, you know what I mean? They tend to like be a finishing move. Ultimates and the megas are like would be like planeswalkers or some. You know what I mean? Like they would have like transcendent capabilities because megas are like hard to come by.
Yeah, I'm saying ultimates are probably in like a 5-7 mana cost range and megas are 8+.
Yeah.
So he'd be like 3-2 Rakdos, maybe.
That would be a cool mana cost because it would be 3-2 red symbols, 2 black symbols.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. And he needs a lot of colored mana because his ability is gonna be fucking crazy. When Skull Greymon ETBs. Okay, first of all. Oh, this would be a fun thing. What if we make him 3 in Rakdos? Like a little cheaper, right?
Uh-huh.
He's a 5-3. And when it ETBs, deal 3 damage to each creature.
Oh.
Or more. You know, like maybe so higher toughness. Himself? But the idea is that he can destroy himself when he ETBs, unless you have an anthem or something.
Okay.
Like you have to put additional effort into supporting him and keeping him around and keeping him alive, but he's like incredibly destructive when he shows up.
Okay, yeah, I like that.
Yeah, I think that's
especially
cool
because he's like not like you're not supposed to want to have Skull Greymon happen.
No, and he's short lived when he does show up, if you remember.
Yeah, maybe like. Okay, hear me out.
Mm-hmm.
He's like a 5-3, does 3 mm-hmm. damage to every creature when he comes out, and has persist.
That would be... Wow. So he comes in, blows himself up.
Comes back in, blows shit up again. Exiles, but has done 6 damage to everybody across the board. Triggered whatever shit you have. That's like whenever
aristocrat, whatever damage. Aristocrat shit you
yeah,
have.
You've lost a creature twice.
Dude, that's powerful. That's extremely good. I like that a lot. Okay. Okay, I'll give you one more.
Okay.
Cherrymon.
Okay. Tree folk.
Mm-hmm.
So probably like a 1/5 or like a 0/6 defender.
Okay.
Cherrymon, his whole thing in the show was that he was like leading Matt down the wrong path, right? Mm-hmm. Pretending mm-hmm. to be a friend. So I'm gonna say that you can tap him to goad target creature and opponent controls.
Mm-hmm.
And he costs like 3 and a green.
3 and a green sounds right for an 0/6 defender. I was going to pump that ability up a little bit. Definitely goad, but like pay 2. Don't tap him so you can goad multiple creatures. If it's the second time this ability... Oh, here we go. Pay 2, goad target creature. If this is the second time this ability has resolved this turn, put a +1/+1 counter on that creature. If it's the third time this ability has resolved this turn, that creature's controller draws a card.
Okay, yeah.
So you can goad multiple creatures for cheap.
You can politic.
But you have to give advantages out. Yeah. Because ultimately, Cherrymon kind of gives an advantage to the enemy. You know what I mean? Like he like powers up Matt to be angry and shit. And Matt learns a lot from this. And you know,
I think he should be Golgari. I think he should be two green and a black. And that effect should also cost green and a black.
Yeah. We're so Magic the Gathering podcast now.
Hey, is it better than porn? I don't know.
I don't know. Maybe for some people,
maybe for some folks. And I'm sure there's some of you who are sorely disappointed. I'm sorry. Ibidramon is not very popular. I didn't know he existed until we watched this episode. Yeah. I forgot all about this lobster dragon man.
He's cool looking, but like...
He's cool as shit, but like... I've played so many Digimon games. I don't remember this fucker.
Yeah, he's nowhere to be found. I'll tell you who is somewhere to be found. It's your digital champion.
It's Gomamon.
Yeah, it's Gomamon.
It's gotta be.
It's the boy. It's the goat. Greatest of all time. Greatest to ever do it. Greatest who ever will do it.
He goes through so much this episode and still remains just like the best friend you've ever had.
Yeah, Kate takes it all in stride.
He is...
Want to talk about fucking reliable? Gomamon.
Yeah, fucking Gomamon is the Digimon equivalent of the 5-foot, like, life-size Lucario plush. That's currently cucking you right now.
I farted.
You farted. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Good job.
It was pretty loud.
We're all so proud of you.
Thank you. Oh my God.
To whom do you want to dedicate this award?
Gomamon.
He's our
digital champion.
He gets the fart award.
All right, tell them about your shows.
Yeah, we got Post Ponies, which is another little show like this, where me and 3 other trans gals go through a retrospective of My Little Pony: Friendship is Magic and the rise of American fascism, because the two dovetail so fucking often.
So
yeah, the last one we recorded brought back the one black character of the show, and not in the best way.
Sure. Well, she's black and white.
She fuck off.
She's a zebra. Fuck. Zebra character.
I can't believe you got to that before me. I'm so mad. Anyway, you can catch that anywhere you get pod. Yep. Or you can go to smallgayhorse.com. Now, Audrey,
yeah,
you want to tell them about that Patreon that we were?
Yes, after I do my show.
You so have a show. I forgot.
I do have a show. It's called Radio Free Tote Bag. It's a show about relationships that I do with my co-host Donovan. I almost said partner Corla because I'm always talking about this show.
I was like, Are you okay? are you about to say some shit about Dono? Dono's cool.
With my fucking cool friend who rocks. We do heartfelt relationship advice and goofy japes. Some fun haps over there. I don't know if you're already a patron of Radio Free Tote Bag, or if maybe you considered checking Radio Free Tote Bag out and maybe you didn't hear this week's episode. I'm going to tell you a little bit about our Patreon restructuring. We're going to do a Death Chat 500 style stream once a month at the $10 a month tier. And we're going to move shout outs from $10 to $20. If you want to shout out on that show, it's a little more expensive now. But you get the Frasier show and the bonus episode each week at $5. $10, you get the Death Chat stream and video episodes. $20, you get a shout out. How about that?
How about that?
Now is the time where I will introduce you to the Data Transfer Patreon, finally.
The DTP.
The DTP finally revealing itself, much like Myotismon revealing himself to.
Data Transfer Shinkai into Patreon mode.
Here's how I figure we're going to do it. I guess I'm just going to do this on the fly, and maybe this will be subject to change. But here's what I'm thinking. Okay. I don't know how long this is going to run, but we're going to do bonus. You get all the bonus content that goes up on the Patreon for $3 a month. Get in for just $3 a month. You get everything that our Patreon includes. At $5 a month for the first 20 subscribers, you also get a shout out on the main feed.
Yeah.
We're going to read your name. We're going to go... hey Corla, who's up first, you know, and then we're gonna shout out some people.
We put stuff after the porn segment so that we don't have to say people's names right after we describe pornography when we start the Patreon.
Exactly.
She thought ahead so good.
That's why Digital Champion is after that, because first of all, I knew we needed a palate cleanser after we talk about pornography.
Second of all, some folks might not want to be associated directly with Ikakumon's big stinky feet.
So yeah, once again, $3 for all the bonus content that's available, which includes about an hour and 40 minutes of us talking about Digimon World 1. But we're recording more all the time.
All the time, because we're $3 playing games a month. All the fucking time.
Oh yeah. $3 a month. Oh, and the main thrust of the content, we're working on Digimon World 1 right now. We're training our little Gabumon and beating the shit out of him and, you know, working his ass off so that he maybe gets to become a personal favorite Digimon of mine. Maybe one that I love very much. You have to check out the Patreon to see which Digimon we're going to Digivolve him into. And then when we get bored of that game, we're going to move on to a different game. It's like a video games content kind of thing. We're going to do games analysis.
And primarily with Digimon stuff, but there's only so much of it, so we'll be branching out.
Yeah.
And a big part I want to point out here is that the pace of the Patreon is going to be following primarily both of our attention span. We're not likely to finish most big games that we start up, if only because one or both of us is just going to be like, I would rather be playing Fortnite, actually.
You'll never catch me saying that.
You'll never catch us saying that. But the point is that each one of us has a little veto switch. So we'll be moving on. You know, at our own pace.
Yeah.
Try and get a nice vertical slice of each game up beforehand first.
Yeah. And it'll be fun. It'll be a great time. Come listen to us riff on Digimon World 1. Some pretty solid jokes in these.
It's such a nostalgia trip for me. It's such a good time. Go check it out.
Yep. And the first 20 subscribers at the $5 a month level get a shout out on the main feed.
The mead.
Go out there. I'm going to need you to go out there and drink some mead this week. Mead's really good. I like
down
mead.
Some grog. You're a pirate now.
Yar.
Plunder your booty. By which I mean analingus.
Hey, get out there and buy the products.
Get out there and eat some ass.
And drink some grog.
And then eat more ass.
And then pirate some booty.